Okay. So to learn the sugya of Suda Shabbos, about the obligation of having a suda in the first place, Lecha Mishnah, how to hold the challahs, how to cut the challahs, frozen challahs, a lot of different topics for today. So the first thing we always have to find is the source for it. So the Gemara says in Shabbos Kuf Yud Zayin and Beis Ton Rabbanan, Kamasudos Chayv Adam Lechol B'Shabbos. So how many meals is good morning? We just started. How many meals is a person chayv to eat on Shabbos? Shalosh, three. Because of Vayomer Moshe Achlu Hayom Ki Shabbos Hayom LaHashem Hayom Osam Tzenim B'Sodeh. So if you look, it's not higher math, but if you see, there's a word that appears three times in the pasuk. What is it? Hayom. So you see Hayom three times. So from there, the Gemara says you have to have three meals on Shabbos. Now, we do it Friday night, Shabbos morning, Shal Shuras. But theoretically, if a person was not feeling well and went to sleep early on a Friday night, so you have three meals on Shabbos day itself. Because the Chiv is to have three. We space it out, right? Says the Rambam, fascinating halach, and we discussed this a little bit in one of our previous shiurim when we were discussing, if you remember, Kiddush B'Makom Seuda, we had a chilek, which enhances which? Does the Kiddush there to enhance the Seuda, or is the Seuda there to enhance the Kiddush? So we'll see the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, Halacha Tes. He says like this. Chayv Adam Lechol Shlosh Seudos B'Shabbos, like the Gemara, Achas Arvis, Achas Shachris, Achas B'Mincha. V'tzorech Lizara B'Shlosh Seudos Eilu, Shelo Yifchois Mehen Klal. Don't skip one. V'afilu Onish Misparnes Min HaTzedakah, Soed Shlosh Seudos. Even if you have a poor person who's taking a tzedakah, he still has to make sure he has his three meals. V'im Haya Chole Mirov HaAchila, O Shehaya Mis'ane Tomid, Potem Mishlosh Seudos. If you're sick, or you're constantly fasting, okay, then you would... your potter. Tzorech likboa kol seuda mishloshton al hayayin. You should make kiddush at all three meals. Litzol al shteki koros v'chein b'yom tovim. So you have to make kiddush at each of the three meals, and you have to have lechem mishnah at all of the three meals. So it's interesting. You see here that there's a chayah. The chassidim do this, by the way. They make kiddush not at the beginning of shal shudas, but they make a brepia goffin in the middle of Shalosh Seudos, based upon this Rambam. So what would you say? Which is the Iker and which is the Tuffel? Is the Kiddush the main thing, or is the Seudah the main thing? Based upon this Rambam. He says you have to have... So the Seudah, and the Kiddush is there to enhance the Seudah. So in Parshas B'Shalach, we just had recently, it says, Vayhi b'yom hashishi, loktu lechem mishnah. They gathered two loaves, two portions. Shneha omer... So omer is a measurement, right? Like, you know, when we talk about having a gallon of something, it's a weight, it's a measurement. So the omer was how much they took. So they took lechem mishnah. That's our famous idea of taking two. So the Gemara says in Kuf Yud Zayin, omer bi abba b'shabes chayv adal livtzol al shteki koros tichsiv lechem mishnah. So we have the lechem mishnah. So what happens when you have a half-eaten roll. Okay, I understand. You know, it's not really called lechem mishnah. But how much does it have to be attached to still be called lechem mishnah? So what if you have? I guess the litmus would be like this: if you have like a slice in the middle of it, if you could hold it by one end, it would still stay together. That's still called lechem mishnah. If it's so far down, if you hold on one end, the other's going to drop off. That's the lechem mishnah. You can actually, there's an eights in the postgame of putting like a toothpick or doing something. You can't really staple it, I guess. Yeah, that's the way of connecting. You put a toothpick in, so it looks like a shalom. That'd be as well. Many times, you know, just around the year, you don't have, so people grab matzah or something like that, because matzah is usually easy to get to get lechem mishnah.
But that's two different things. One is whether it's a shalom, and another is a certain weight, whether it's made an omer.
No, it's not a weight. The weight here, shalom is shalom. It could be a little roll. Technically, it could be a little roll. We don't hold this really thing. It's just that's how the mon fell. So it's talking about you're taking two portions of that, but it doesn't. You know, I just saw a video recently of the Amshinov Rebbe, and he had like a challah that was mamish as long as this table. You know, by the Rebbe's Baruch Hashem, there's big challahs. You know, there's no sheer in how large the challah. He was lifting it. Okay.
You need a shalim in order to make lacha mishnah.
Yeah, preferably. That's the whole point. It should be shalim. So that's why we'd get a matz or something if we didn't have another one. We'll talk about using freezer, grabbing a challah from the freezer in a second. So, you know, maybe I'll say over like this. There is an inyan of cutting the challah. I'm going to skip a little bit to the next page. This is from the Minchas Yitzchak. He says like this. If you take out a challah from the, he says, hakrusha, see in the brackets, freezer. You take it out from the freezer. So can you do this? So what's the suffix that's bothered by the asking Minchas Yitzchak? How do you understand lechem mishnah? Is it that it has to be edible right now? Right, now you can't really eat the frozen challah, but it could become edible if you hold out with thought. Then you could. So he says like this: the tshuva is af the b'shas achila at the time of eating a dayin lo nase roy lachila. It's frozen. You can't eat it right now. He says nevertheless mikol malchum kevin she'efshel letakno ba'oifin she'roy lachila acherkach kroy roy lachila. Since you could fix it in a permissible way on Shabbos, if you could let it defrost, so therefore that's called roy lechita. Could be edible, right? Umitzarif lechem mishnah, and therefore you could count it. Kach nira leni is daiti. So he allows you to use a frozen challah because it could become edible.
So it's still got to be roy lechita. It's got to be. So you can't take your lump of dough that's gonna be
right. Exactly. To point out a lump of raw dough, which is not roy lechita, is not allowed on. Wouldn't count, right? It'd also be muktzah because anything's inedible is not a. So here's the anything's inedible is muktzah. So Rabbi Sabalowski was giving a shiur in Hilchos Muktzah at Stern, and he was like giving an example of something that's not edible. So he said, you know, like raw noodles. And half the girls in class raised their hand. What do you mean? During finals, that's all we nosh. We had the. You know, it's interesting how times have changed. When the Shulchan Aruch wants to give an example of a raw food that nobody eats. A raw food that nobody eats, fish. No one eats raw fish, because sushi wasn't so popular at the Simchas back then. And when it wants to give an example of a raw food that people do eat, meat. They used to chew on little pieces of raw meat, like gum. I don't know. Okay. So nowadays, you know, you fast forward 500 years, so I don't think anybody chews on raw meat, and gavalt, everyone's eating...
steak tartare.
Right? Steak tartare? It's raw meat? Mm. Is that common? Do people eat that?
No, I have no idea.
You have no idea. You know what it is, but
yeah, I know of it, but I think from people don't tend to eat that.
From people won't eat it.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Probably not the most kosher.
So see, muktzah is defined by something else. So let's be saying a raw piece of dough would be muktzah. You couldn't use that. The opposite is also true. The way, let's say it's not really the lechem mishnah. Let's say you had lechem mishnah. You don't really need the second challah roll. Are you allowed to put it in the freezer? So is that called hachana for after Shabbos? You're putting it in the table. It says, no, you're allowed to actually put it in the freezer as well for a different reason, because I think it's based on Chuvas Marashag, that if now is the time when the action has to be done, that's not called hachana for after Shabbos. If we were talking about this on Friday, right? If it could be done later and you're just doing it now because you want to, you know, chaparayin and get it over with so you don't do this and do that, that's hachana for after Shabbos. But if now is the time where it has to be done, then you're allowed to do that at Maisa on Shabbos. It's not considered Chachana for after Shabbos. So that's the opposite side of it, right? Not taking one out of the freezer, putting one into the freezer. And what about covering the challahs? So there's some sugya in the 10th parak of Pesach of Poros Mapim Makadesh, which means, let's say you're having a seuda. You started a meal when you were allowed to early on in the day, on a Friday or an Erev Yom Tov, and then it was a long seuda, went for a few hours, and now in the middle of your seuda, comes Shabbos, becomes Yom Tov. So the halacha is, you cover your food, you cover the food on the table, and then what's it called? You make Kiddush. So the Prima Gadol brings three different reasons why we do this. We cover it. One is Yakar to Shabbos, so that it becomes like, if I have something covered, so it's like it's not there. You know, in the days, these are bigger tables, but in the days, these used to have, you know, like a little, what they call like TV dinner trays?
TV dinner trays, right?
Yeah, yeah. So they used to be sitting, they would bring you your table, they would bring you your food on a thing. You didn't have it in front of you. So if I cover all the food on my table, it's ke'ilu, like it's not there. And now, okay, magic, abracadabra, right? I opened it up and here comes my seuda now again. Abracadabra's from the Gemara. Abara kidabra. I will create as I speak. Abracadabra, right? It's a Gemara word. But anyway, that's one reason why it comes out. Another reason is we cover because of it's a din kadima, that we don't want the there's an order of brachos. We spoke about that in the drasha about the importance of the din kadima, what foods get a bracha. Normally, challah comes first, right? The way to remember this is the acronym of Maga Eish. Mem Gimel Ayin Aleph Shin. Maga Eish, playing with fire. So Mem is Mizonos, Gimel is Geffen, Ayin is Eitz, Eish is Adama, and then Shahakol. But you have Lechem and you have the Ayin, so then really technically speaking the Lechem should come first. So we cover the Lechem, we cover that it's not really there. It's the second answer. And the third one is Zeichel Amon. That we cover the challah because just like we'll see in a second now that the mon had two levels of covering on it. It was covered on the bottom and it was covered on the top. Yeah. So depending on which reason you take, whether it's for the mon, whether it's for the kiddush, big nafkamin will be by shalosh shudis. Do you have to cover your challah on top and on bottom by shalosh shudis? Unless you're holding the Rambam, unless you're a chassidish yid and you're making kiddush. So then you're not making kiddush. So there's no reason to cover because you know.
So what does the bottom covering people do?
The bottom is just not on the table, but on a plate. Okay, that's their acheretz. But to cover the top is that's to cover when you're making things. So you cover the challahs because they had a covering on the bottom and one on the top, right?
So there's another nafkamina then.
Well, yeah, there's many nafkaminas.
Because this is one that my daughter was pointing out, and I wasn't sure if it was true or not. Let's say you don't even have your challah on the table when you're making kiddush. Maybe.
So you're actually supposed to raise the challahs when you make it. It's not here, but the
kiddush, not.
Oh, yeah, nachinami, right. Well, then what are you covering? There's nothing to cover if it's not there.
Right, so are you obligated to bring the challahs in to cover them specifically? Or because it's.
Oh, good question.
She was learning there.
The minig is to have the challahs on the table at the time of kiddush, right, and then to cover them. But right, if they're not there, there's nothing to cover.
If you forget to put them on the table.
Okay, it's not ma'akev. You're still yotze kiddush if you didn't have the challahs on the table.
Because the truth is, if you have a very low temperature on, and maybe you want to keep them warm up until the last second, so you can have a warm challah when you... That's a very practical thing. So
those 2 minutes are going to make a big difference?
They could.
Maybe make a chazonus to kiddush. It's a 10-minute kiddush. You never know? Yeah. Oh, so what we're getting on to Sepporus Mapa Makavish, right? So by covering it, so if the din is in the mon, if it's by mon, then you would cover it on the top also by Shalosh Shudas, because it's not reflective of what's it called? Of the Kiddush. Yeah. Okay, basically those are the reasons that are shown over here.
So what do we hold by? Because we don't really cover, but
I try to. Rav Ulig, based upon Rav Ulig, he has it covered by a shalosh shudas.
So I also try some extra napkins.
Yeah, yeah, that would be nice. Again, you don't have to. You still again. Yeah. So those are the three reasons we can come with many napkins. That would be a whole sugya, a whole shir by itself, is to find the different ways, the permutations of that. At least four or five different napkins. There's a tshuva from Rav Moshe. What about if he asks a question like this? It must be like a dining room or something like this. One person's making kiddush at their table, and then everybody else is going to be yotze with that at all their other tables, right? That's the question. You follow? In other words, you have to cover your challahs when somebody else is making the kiddush or Moshe Koz without going through the tshuva. He says, I didn't put it on the source sheets, but going to all three shitas, going to all three reasons the Prima Gadim brings down, he says you would have to, yes, cover the challahs on your table while someone else is making kiddush at a different table.
If you're being yotze with it. Or...
Well, yeah, if you're not being yotze with it, but then when you make your kiddush, you're going to cover it. So, Rav Soloveitchik had a chumrah. He used to cover everything. He used to cover all the food. I think, right? Did Rabbi Cohen, does Rabbi Cohen do this in Morsha?
I don't know, I know Rabbi Adler.
Rabbi Adler also covers everything?
I think he does. He told us that Rav Soloveitchik said that it's because you don't want to have any food on the table yet when you make kiddush, then you bring everything out.
Right. Right, that's like that's the TV dinner tray thing when you bring it. They're bringing the whole meal out, so Rav held you covered everything. I mean, I think remember of Rabbi Cohen Shlita covering everything, putting out napkins to cover up everything, like the tuna salad or whatever, whatever they had out. Everything got by his table. He didn't go for every single table, but Yeah. I guess these are, I'm not going to read inside, but these are the three different reasons that they bring down over here about covering it. Oh, so one more thing. Maybe it was in the Mishnah Berurah, in Yud Aleph. Says Batur b'shem Yerushalmi hevi tam adu mechasim es achalos. It brings why we cover the chalos shlo yir hapas bushos. It shouldn't be a busha or embarrassment. She'ei makish in alav el al hayayin. We're not making kiddush on the bread. Instead, we're making kiddush on the wine. But we know if you don't have wine, you would make the kiddush on the bread. V'hu yeshlo din kedima b'shar makomos. Really, the bread should come first. L'fize according to this, im mekadish al hapas ein tzarich lechasos alav. Mapa. If you are making kiddush on the bread, you wouldn't have to cover it. All the time, achish shakasim. The other reason the Torah brings down, she zeich leman. They were doing this as a reminder for the way the man fell. Shai munach bekuspa. It was like in a covered on top and bottom. It was in a basket. It covered talamata on top and on bottom. Memele gam bekadosh al hapas tzarich lechasos memapa v'chein nohagin. Right, that's the minhag, is to cover it for that. Umash me prima godim shlechol hatamim dai bemekadosh al hayayin shiyeh mechusa ad achish shgamar hakiddush. This is another nafkamina. Can I uncover it where I'm actually making the bracha? Right? So if the whole point was just for the kiddush, I say kiddush, it could be uncovered. You have to keep it covered. According to the Chai Adam, if you're taking the Zeich Laman reason, you would still keep it covered while you're making hamotzi. So what do you do in your house? Do you cover it while you make hamotzi? It's uncovered for hamotzi.
Yes, I covered.
It's covered for hamotzi?
Covered.
Covered? No? Mayor, what do you do?
Yeah, covered.
Covered? Uncovered.
Covered.
Covered, okay.
I give a little cut and then I cover it.
Oh, no, uncovered. Uncovered.
You keep it uncovered when you make hamotzi.
Oh, yeah.
It's uncovered already. So that's based upon these reasons. If you're the Zeich Laman, so it would still remain covered. If it's for the other reasons, then it shouldn't be embarrassed. So there's no embarrassment to talk about. You're right. You're making it. So that's another nafkamina between them. There is an Indian. You hold both challahs with your hands because there's 10 mitzvos, 10 fingers. There's 10 mitzvos that you do with challah from the planting until the separating. There's 10 mitzvos. Also, a little remez they bring down. There's 10 words in the bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz has 10. I've seen people actually when they like trying to count the minyan. They like, instead of Hoshia, they count Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. I don't know. It's interesting.
And there should be no tzitzit between your fingers and
right. Lechem. That's true. If you're wearing gloves or something, that you should remove the gloves. Yeah. On the last page, we'll talk about which challahs to cut. Holding the challahs, right? So he brings this down here in the Shulchan Aruch. Yitein shtei yadov al hapas b'shasa bracha. So you hold it with both hands. Shia behen yud etzbaos keneged yud mitzvos hatulias b'pas. Because your 10 fingers correspond to the 10 mitzvos that we do with bread. V'chein yesh yud tevos b'birchas hamotzi, right? V'yud tevos b'posuk matzmiach hatzir l'vehema, okay? V'yud tevos b'posuk eini kol elecha yisaberu, okay, all these psukim. V'yud tevos b'posuk eretz chita u'sa'ora, that was yesterday's drasha. V'yesh tevos b'posuk v'yitin l'cha. So all these different psukim have ramazim into being satiated. Okay, so there's a thing. So what you just asked, v'im hu lovush b'bat yadayim, if you're wearing gloves, nachon shesiram b'shasa bracha, you should take off the gloves. There shouldn't be any interruption. Chatzitza between the holding on to it and the thing. So now the question is, which to cut first? So you have two. So he says like this. The Shulchan Aruch tells us there's an order for cutting the challahs. Botzeya al shtei kikaros shleimus, sheochei shtehim biyado, ubotzeya hatachtona. You cut the bottom one. Okay, so the bottom one comes first. And we'll see the Haggadah says, V'davka b'leili Shabbos. Aval b'yom Shabbos, o b'leili yom tov, botzei ahal yona. You cut the top one. V'atam hu al derech Kabbalah. Ooh, Kabbalah, okay. But for the poshup shot, you have to do something sneaky. Imagine, here's my two challahs, right? Okay, so I have my bottom loaf and my top loaf. And the halacha we just saw is that Friday night, you cut the bottom one. But if I had them directly on top of each other, does that mean I'd have to pass over? No pun intended, pass over, but then I'm going to skip. I have to pass over the top challah to get to the bottom one. We have a klal ein mavir hal mitzvos. You don't, when a mitzvah comes to your hand, you're not supposed to pass over it. So you do like this. You shift. You slide the bottom one out a little bit under. So technically speaking, it's closer to you. So I'm going to cut both. They'll make the little slice in the challah. And then I make the bracha. I'm holding on to both of them, whether it's covered or uncovered. Okay, different minhagim. But it's, I'm holding on to it with my 10 fingers. And then I take the bottom one out because the bottom's closer to me. So that's how you do it. By Shabbos day, you cut the top one. By Yom Tov, you cut the top one. By Shal Shuas, you cut the top one. But just to understand, it's the Eim Avirin. Now, the Gra had a different minhag. Well, I can say it's different, but the Gra used to cut both challahs at all three meals. I think it's based upon Rashba, but he used to cut all. So let's figure out this for a second. If I have two challahs at each meal and I cut them, so how many challahs do I have at the end?
Six.
If I have two challahs and I cut both of them, I have.
You mean when you're
whole ones or
two whole challahs and I cut both of them, I have four. Four, right? Okay. And I did it all three meals, 4, 8, 12. I'm going to have 12 by the end of Shabbos. Mm-hmm. So the Gra used to do this as a remez for the Shtei HaLechem. They used to have 12 challahs in the base of Migdash. So therefore, he was to cut both of the challahs at every single meal.
Didn't he cut each of those sub pieces?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Right? I don't know how it went after, but it's brought down that as a remez for this idea. Others have 12 challahs at each meal. The Rebbe's do. They have a lot of challahs.
Hopefully the Gross family like challah. What?
Right.
My family would barely go through one.
It's going to
be so practical.
Give it a few years.
So look in the Mishnah Berurah. He brings down in Tez Zion. Habach Tom, the Bach, Bais Chodesh. The whole circus is amazed by this. Te'eim avir al ha-mitzvos. You can't skip over mitzvah. V'ataz tikein zeh v'nohog lehaniach atachton korov elov yosim in ha'elyon. You put the lower one, the bottom one, closer than the top one. V'nimzah comes out shpagi etechila b'tachton. The first one you reach is the bottom one. So that's why we do what we do. Maybe the last one to end off is the way to actually cut it. So it says, botzeya b'pas v'makam shenef ha'hetev. You cut it where it's cooked the most. This is an interesting halacha in terms of brachos. Let's say you're about to eat a slice of pizza, or you're about to eat a slice of bread. You're supposed to eat first the part that's cooked the most. So on a pizza, what part is cooked the most?
Crust.
The crust. So once I saw somebody do this, I thought it was just a shtick. Then I actually learned the halacha. Chaver mine, we were in a, I think it's called Time Out Pizza Shop across from IU. And he got his hamotzi on his slice and he took from the crust. Huh. So I'm thinking, oh, he's just eating backwards to pull a shtick. And then he turned around and then he ate this pizza from the regular, the triangle side of it, right? I realized, right? Giddies, they could put this up in the store, the halacha. But so the interesting, because the crust is cooked the most. The crust is cooked, it's well done. It's more cooked than the rest of the pie. So therefore, the halacha is, that's where the first bite should come. You have a slice of bread. So people used to like to dig and eat the gooey part of them inside the bread, right? And then you have the crust. Really, the person should take hamotzi and make a bracha on the crust of the bread, because that's the part
like
that's...
Even if the doughy better? Even if the person likes the doughy...
Even if you like the doughy part more, yeah, but the first bite should be on the part that the bracha should go on the most chashva part of the bread, which is cooked the most. Mm-hmm. So that's why if you have like a brown spot, you have a part where it's darkened more because it was cooked in a little bit longer. That's what the does, right? Uvapasti dan yesh l'tzoa b'tzad hapas v'yachtuch ma'at mitzad ha'elyon v'tachton. We make a little slice in it. The slice is there, so you shouldn't waste time, because it used to be hard to cut the bread. Nowadays we waste more time because we're looking to find where that slice was, right? V'yachtuch prusas ha'betzia v'tzorech lachtuch ma'at. Make a small little cut. She'im yachos v'prusa yale sharkika imo. As we spoke about the beginning, that it's not a big enough slice. If you would pick it up from that such a small slice, the rest of the bread would come in it. She'im lokin, if not, choshev k'prusa. It's like a slice. It's a sliced off. I'm using the word in two different contexts. If you make a little slice, but it goes so far deep into the bread, that's now called sliced bread. So it has to be just a little nick, so you see where it is to start the process. V'yanichu, l'er l'pas, v'yask l'vorich, you make the bracha, v'ach shim ha-bracha, yaf ri'den. You separate after you made the bracha. K'dei she'tich l'ha-bracha, be'od sh'pas sholem.
Does that mean we better not to even bother slicing it?
No, we do. We do, because we don't want there to be the minig is to make the little slice. They'll make a little nick in it. But not
what is the actual reason?
Because it used to take a long time to cut the bread.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't want to be a long interruption between your bracha and you actually could eat
the
bread.
That's still the same reason. There's nothing else.
Yeah, yeah. But the maybe I'll pick Kabbalah or something like, I don't know. But the Lamaisa, the reason why it's done was because the bread took a long time. So imagine this. I have to imagine the bread has changed in the last few hundred years. But if you had a really hard piece of bread, if it wasn't refrigeration, you could be eating a bread that's been sitting out for a week. I don't know. I'm guessing.
So it's basically you're sawing your way through it.
You're sawing your way through it, right. So you start the sawing beforehand, right. Because if not, could you imagine, you know, you make hamotzi lechem in haaretz. Then for 7 minutes, you're sitting here with your chainsaw. You got your power drill to make a slice on this bread that's rock hard. I'm assuming that's the reason.
I gotta tell Ari about the crust. That's the first time I heard that.
Yeah?
I gotta see if he knows.
Okay,
but
good.
Sometimes these restaurants have little pieces of bread by the washing station.
Yeah.
I'm not saying everybody.
Okay, good and bad. Let's talk about these little pieces of bread.
Is that allowed?
The bonus is what? Now there's not a hefsek, right?
Right.
Because technically speaking, after you wash Netilas Yadayim, you have the amount of time it takes to walk 22 steps to get back to your seat to make your hamotzi. If not, that's why people, it's not proper, it's hard to avoid. You know, you have a big suda and everyone's washing and it takes 3 minutes for every single person to sit and you're sitting there for 3 minutes, right? Sometimes it happens, but it's better to try to avoid it. So the bonus, the mile of having the small little pieces of bread by the things that there's no hefsek now. You make on the tzitzis yadayim and you make hamotzi right after. Good. The problem is, we're just seeing right now, it's not a shalim. Mm-hmm. There aren't real things. So they're little pieces of bread. So it's better to make it on a shalim. So what's the way you can do best of both worlds? Put little rolls by the washing station.
Even during the week. Have a shalim.
100%. I'll tell you, Lamais, you know when this comes up? In the summertime, barbecues. Everyone's going to eat their hot dog and their hamburgers. But if you're making your hamotzi on a hot dog and a hamburger, if you put all your toppings on already, the hot dog's not whole anymore. You cut the hot dog. You made the whole hot dog. Really, what's best practice would be to wash, make hamotzi, eat the bun itself, take a bite while it's still shalim, and then you make a slice in your hot dog bun, your hamburger bun, and you load up all the toppings.
Even the whole, you should have a...
Even on a weekday. What was that? This is the din of brachos.
It's better than cream cheese. They cut it open and cream cheese it after.
After, right.
We're like a sliced loaf of bread, if you're having a sandwich.
So, yeah, you're not going to eat a whole loaf of bread, right? In that case, there's nothing to do. If for some reason you would have a shalim and a sandwich, you should make the bracha. Like you have a little roll or something like that. It's better.
You have a choice.
You have a choice, right. But, I'm talking about where you have a choice. You're at a barbecue and they have, if everything's already pre-cut, there's nothing to talk about. You don't have to make a big fuss about it. But if you have that, like, you know, taking out of the package, they have the uncut rolls. So take that, go make the bracha, make hamotzi on the uncut roll, and then go put all the...
Yeah, but in the case of sliced bread during the weekday, the slice is the shalim.
No, a sliced bread is not shalim.
Under any circumstance.
It's cut. It's cut already.
But all you're interested in is one piece.
Okay, so then you would still make the bracha on that. But if you have priorities, you have a choice.
The same thing with the pizza. Pizza comes sliced.
Correct, but now you're making on the part that's cooked the most. So on the slice of bread, you're gonna make you should make the bracha hamotzi and eat a piece of the crust first. On the pizza, you should make a bracha and eat from the crust first.
What happens if you have if one of your challahs got a little burnt and now there's a little black chunk that. It has no taste to it. It's like
a burn. It's not edible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you can find like a second tier. Find a little piece that's cooked well. It's not burnt. If the whole pizza is burnt, you got to send it back. Giddy's would never do such a thing. Giddy's will never burn your pizza.
These washing station problems. Yeah. That's probably much more serious on Shabbos, right? You can't really use the little pieces. I think he gets.
Yeah. Right.
In this place, I think he gets garlic.
Garlic knots.
I think.
All right, now you're talking.
Garlic
knots are shalim. There you go.
Man, that's better, yeah.
I think. Or some people will ask. I've seen other places. You go to Borough Park or Lakewood, right? Don't they have a little piece of bread?
Little slices.
It's very common.
Right.
Very common.
Yeah.
I don't use that.
Why you?
For luck reasons. It's just... People's
hands are. You don't know where that bread's been.
It's true.
So, theoretically, does this mean if you are having pizza... You should try to make the bracha before the pizza is sliced up, so at least one person gets a whole...
You mean the whole pie before it's sliced?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I mean, you're making it home or you're buying a slice? You're buying in the pizza?
No, making it home. Because if you get it at a pizza store,
it's
already
going
to be
sliced. Maybe.
You make homemade pizza all the time.
Yeah?
So at least one person could make the bracha.
Maybe one person get on the shalim.
On the shalim?
I hear.
But now the rule is you have to make a bracha on one slice of pizza, so you got to figure the slice is...
Still not going to be whole.
Still not shalim, though.
Bracha, but,
well, if you make a motzi, then you have to say the full after brach.
Yeah, nachinami. I hold you make a motzi in one slice.
Yeah, that's different. But again,
yeah.
Now that I'm gonna interested.
Very good. Okay.